A word from Revelation chapter 6. And when he, the Lamb, opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the incense altar before God's heavenly throne, I saw the souls of those who had been slain on account of the word of God and on account of their witness which they held. And they cried out in a great voice, saying, How much longer, O Almighty One, Holy One, and True One, how much longer will you not judge and avenge our blood from those who are dwelling upon the earth? And there was given to them, each of them, a white garment, and it was said to them that they should rest a little longer until whenever the complete number of their fellow slaves and their brothers, who also are about to be put to death even as they, until that complete number is filled. Beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there are two particular prayers in the book of Revelation that catch our attention. Only two, amongst all the hymns of praises, of course. The one at the very end, after the Lord himself and through his angels had shown to John all that was to take place, and the Lord in the last words said to John, Behold, I'm coming quickly. And John, as you know, prayed, Come now, Lord Jesus, come now. But there is a second prayer, a prayer not voiced by the church here on earth, as John did, and we as a church should do that daily, Come now, Lord Jesus. There is a second prayer, another prayer that is voiced by the saints in heaven, who have come out of the great tribulation, and they have white garments. In chapter 7, we are told that these white garments were made white by the blood of the Lamb. And they are praying to God, How much longer? And the Lord answers them, if I can put it in my own words, Be patient very, very soon. This prayer of the saints in heaven suggests that the church here on earth is under and in tribulation and suffering, something we don't like to hear. But if we take God's word honestly, you remember what Paul said, it is through much suffering that we enter into the kingdom of God. We reign with Christ here on earth, not in glory. Oh, yes, by faith, yes, that's to come, and we yearn for that. But rather, we reign with Christ here on earth through suffering. And as we get closer to the end, this suffering, this persecution, tornadoes, floods, all that's going on that tears our heart, temptation, sin, evil, warfare of the dragon against the church will only increase. There'll be ups and downs, but finally it'll, as Luther once said in his own language, all hell will break loose then at the end, before the end in Armageddon. And we cry out too with the saints in heaven from our perspective, because we're still in that tribulation. Oh Lord, how much longer? I suppose we also cry out with Job. Why, Lord? Why us? Why do you knock our homes down with a tornado, with a flood? We can understand why you do that to unbelievers to catch their attention, but why us? Why do you permit us to go through all the suffering as if we were not your people? Why? Well, we know we're under God's judgment too, aren't we? The whole human race is. And we still bear that judgment because of the old Adam, don't we? However, God permits us to undergo the same judgments that he's poured out on the human race, whether in war, or bloodshed, crime, evil, being tempted into sin, falling into sin, whatever. Not because we're unbelievers, but because, as the witness of the Bible tells us many different ways, so that the Lord can keep us humble, recognizing we are still old Adam and not just new men. As Luther said in different ways at different times, through these tribulations and sufferings, even when he permits us to fall into sin, he drives us to the cross. And we hold on to it for dear life. And also from the witness of the totality of Scripture, our Lord permits us to go through these sufferings as if we were being judged like the unbelievers. He sends it to catch their attention, to give them one more time to repent and so forth. He permits us to undergo the same sufferings, whatever they might be at any given moment, so that we can relate to them. Brother, sister, I'm a sinner just like you. But I know someone who rescues us. Come with me to the cross. An unbelieving neighbor, an unbelieving member of the family, whomever. What an opportunity as we suffer in all of these tribulations. What a challenge to witness to the cross. And maybe while when everything is peaceful and kind and beautiful, life seems to be so good, both to the unbelievers and to us Christians, we proclaim the gospel, but the ears don't hear too often, do they? But when we are in tribulation with them, maybe for the first time, as we witness to them, as we suffer along with them, and we point them to the cross, they will listen. And another reason our Lord permits us to go through this tribulation and sufferings, as witnessed from the Bible, collectively speaking, so that as we proclaim both law and gospel, both judgment and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, our sufferings illustrate that cross. As Paul said, we carry this gospel in earthen vessels so that as we proclaim the power and might of that cross to save, people will know it's not of our doing, but rather through our sufferings we illustrate what we're talking about. And you remember Paul also said that I bear the marks of the Lord in my body. Yes. But we still cry out, don't we, with the saints in heaven, O Lord, how much longer? Be patient. Very soon, that glory for which we yearn will be ours. This is not to be our end here on earth. While we witness to the suffering to Christ, and our sufferings become a badge of honor because of that cross, because of the gospel, law and gospel we proclaim. Our victory is what Jesus did for us on the cross, isn't it? Not my overcoming any suffering at a given moment, not my being able to resist a temptation, not my being able to conquer a sin when I've fallen into it. Oh yes, we hate to fall into sin and we want to stop it, but that's not our victory. No, our defeat. Our victory is what Christ did for us on the cross, totally and complete, and it's ours by faith. And through that cross, he shows us the glory that awaits us, witnesses glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, a preview of that glory. That's going to be our end. That's our victory. And because of that victory, the church will be victorious in her mission. You and your ministry and I and mine, whatever years God yet gives to us, the church will complete that mission and be victorious in it. Even while she's trodden underfoot, torn apart, bloodied, hung on a cross, persecuted. In the midst of all that, as we go into death, our mission will be victorious because the conquering Lord Christ stands behind it every moment, every second. And so we sing confidently, as pictured in the first few verses of chapter 15 of Revelation, where the saints are going into death as a result of this fiery ordeal in which we're in because a dragon wants to destroy the church and a witness. We sing confidently because we know where we're going. And though to the world, the church and her witness will be shamed and defeated in their eyes, yet not in God's eyes. Remember, you are in a victorious pilgrimage, and no one can stop you, not even death. And yet we still pray, don't we? How much longer, Lord? Be patient. I'm coming soon. Come now, Lord. And as we pray those two prayers, miraculously, the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, emboldens us to witness all the more to the only Savior of the entire human race. And we confirm it and our faith in it by honoring that cross with our sufferings. And in contrast, we show the glory that awaits us by our vibrant faith. Very soon. Amen.